Blog Talk Radio.
It is April 17th, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's Sunday. My name is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself, Grant?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Good. And what's
on
the agenda for the show tonight?
Well, we have to tell a joke first in the first 20 seconds, right? But is that editorializing? So that ruins the whole concept?
Yes, it sort of ruins it unless you're supposed to tell the joke without telling them that you're going to tell a joke. So now you risk people not laughing at your joke.
I'm sorry. I completely blew it, right?
So what's the joke?
Well, the joke is, did you hear about the one about Superman? Right? There's two guys in a bar. They're up in the top of a penthouse.
Excuse me. You cannot tell that because you already just told the punchline of the joke. That's not how you tell that joke.
Yeah, but people are going to know the difference.
You ruined
right?
that. You have to find another joke that you don't tell the punchline for.
Oh, I see. So I wrecked the joke. Mm-hmm. Sorry, everybody. I ruined the joke by telling the punchline. But
yes.
You don't know it. You try to help people along, right, with funny,
Excuse me. You told the punchline before you told the joke, and it doesn't work.
Oh, I see. So Superman's a jerk for telling the person that he's really the architect. And he jumps off the building and falls to the ground, right? And the bartender says to Superman, says, Superman, you're a real jerk when you're drunk, right?
Excuse me, everybody. I apologize for his terrible telling of this joke. Okay. So let's go on to what we're actually talking about tonight.
Our serious agenda, correct? In terms
well,
of
we don't
really
have to be serious. It can be humorous, but we should probably move on before we lose our audience.
Humoresque or humorous?
Humorous.
Oh, humorous, right.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So not humoresque. Which would be actually something different. All right, so each week we talk about a wonderful topic, the international bankruptcy of the Geneva Convention of 1930. Okay? Mm-hmm. Having said all that, that means that we've been in a bankruptcy since that time, and there hasn't really been an answer to fix the bankruptcy, albeit we did in 2004. We finally came up with an answer. And that answer simply is to back the Federal Reserve notes with a certificate, albeit the silver certificates have been hoarded, hidden, and stored away a long time ago. I know in China they had some warehouses where they were storing silver certificates. They are a commodity. You can actually do numismatics, which means trading these certificates in terms of the ability to make a profit. Then you have to go into trades and get a little booth and these little home shows and what have you and sell your dollar bills, correct, or silver certificates. So it's really become a business in terms of commodity trading. All right, and having said all that, then what happens to the paper money that we have? Well, we have what is known as a Federal Reserve note that has purchasing power by virtue of the fiatization of the 1792 Coinage Act. It's printed on the face of the document. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. Those 11 words make us have purchasing power over the dollar. Having said all that, it sounds like it was I read it off a piece of paper, but I didn't read it. I did not read that, folks. I don't have to have a writer to write my script in terms of the politicians that can't speak spontaneously, okay? Or what was that? Autoskidiasism. Oh, I remember that. That was pretty interesting. Autoskidias. An autoskidias is somebody that's extemporaneous, and that's what we are on this show. We don't read from notes, and we don't really, do we use any memory? Yeah, I think so, once in a while, correct?
It might be helpful, I suppose, but you seem to have a pretty good one as far as facts and information.
Well, I mean the autoskidias. You like that word? She can't pick on me about that. Dictionary.com sends me a word each day. On autoskidiasm, for those that have dictionary.com, and I know there's aficionados out there that actually have dictionary.com daily, can prove that about 10 days ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, autoscutism was there. So you can't pick on me about the terminology. It wasn't my fault. It was dictionary.com. Are you there?
I see.
Oh, you see? I see. Isn't EC in Francais means here, right? EC or I see?
No, je vois is I see in French. Je vois.
Oh, I see. But EC is here, being in the present moment, correct?
Is you see is vous voyez. What are you asking
voyez.
Me for? Yeah, EC
well,
is
in
here.
America,
EC
you say
is
voyeur,
here. Is that
you
what you're trying to
problems,
say here?
Right?
EC.
So a voyeur and a voyeur in English,
voyer.
You have some major problems.
Voyeur,
right?
Not voyeur, voyeur.
I understand.
With a sound to it. Okay, that's
okay.
Good.
All right, moving right along maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when we talk about the bankruptcy platform, I have four planks platform. And you can see it's a very, unless the planks were really wide, you have four planks, and if there's a distance between them, maybe a couple of feet, you got to leap over to the other planks, right? So the four planks are health, sovereignty, solvency, and agency and shadow. Hey, I actually discussed that for the first time in months, probably.
That's possible.
Hey, I can be on a subject occasionally, maybe. Am I topic-driven or what?
Shall I answer that or not?
Well, I try to be. I make every effort to be topic-driven.
Okay.
Having said that, we know what health is because you know you're healthy or you're not healthy, correct? And most people know if they've listened to my archives and listened to us in our idle banter each week that we're raw vegan, all right? And the reason why, the main crux of the whole thing is, and people need to know this, over 105 degrees denatures the enzyme. So if you have dead enzymes equals dead people, okay? And people really don't like hearing that, but it's the truth. All right, we can cast health aside. And because that's the most important part, with I explained the temperature issue in terms of killing enzymes. We move into the sovereignty issue that is controversial these days. I guess people are getting in Dutch because they really don't know how to explain the sovereignty. And then they use it as a weapon in the marketplace, in courtrooms, and dealing with people. And it's the wrong attitude to have. So if you have the knowledge of proper sovereignty, I put that as one of the words, at the key words is proper sovereignty. If we understand proper sovereignty, we know that we're born with ordained sovereignty. Okay, that means that we're sovereign by birth. All right, and my PhD constituents would say that that was enough, but they don't really understand the bridging of contracts and law, that we need to have document certified sovereignty in terms of trumping the contracts law issues we have in the marketplace. All right, and that means that when the police will say to the individual they'll pull over on the side of the road before some sort of issue in traffic, they would say that driving is a privilege and not a right, okay? But that's as far as they go. People do not really attempt to answer that question because even the policeman or the officer doesn't really have that information in his theoretical premises in terms of the schooling because it's not in police science nor political science. So the answer is the right to use the privilege is given to us by a sovereignty certification of a trust foundation. So it's privately given and not an SPC, it's a third-party creditor, which is not sovereignty because it's issued by the government. The government cannot issue privileges and the right at the same time. That would be collusive and impossible to do. You can't do both of those things. So that's why the policeman says that driving is a privilege and not a right, okay? But that's as far as it goes, that even the officer doesn't know what the right is. We barely know what the birthright was. Years ago, I had mentioned to a lawyer friend of mine at one time, I asked him what is the birthright. boy, he handed me a slew of paperwork and piles of stuff and emails, this and paperwork you wouldn't believe. And, you know, it was nowhere in terms of getting any kind of definition of what the birthright was. So having sorted all that out and piles of information and just you wouldn't believe the references towards it, there's simply the factor that when we're born in this world, we have a birthright. Okay, and what I believe in terms of my studies in the past was that we're the essence of what we are in terms of my esoteric background and what have you, is that the essence of what we are in terms of the religions, even the Catholic Church talks about the soul. What is the soul? Okay, the soul comes through in the physical body, and there's they talk about it, that women go into labor, correct? All right, you've had a child, Gabriella, so you know what labor is about. They talked about that. So you've had that experience, correct?
Yes. I do know
what
labor is about. Labor?
Right, yes.
They call labor, labor. Oh, you want to know what it is in French? What, in French?
Did I say anything about French? She has French on the mind tonight.
Travail, travail.
So she's from France. She was born in France, right? You were born in France.
You know, it's probably the same as work, travail, travail. Is work. So I think it's also probably synonymous with labor.
It's a hidden agenda, but Gabrielle was actually born in France. She's actually French. A lot of people don't know that. She will deny it, of course, as soon as I say it.
I wasn't raised
in France.
I told you. I was just born there.
She wasn't raised, but she was born there, correct?
Yeah. So my French could be a little bit rusty.
In terms of the oxidation on your bronze statue in the park,
monsieur?
Right? I mean, mademoiselle.
Yes,
madame.
Que veux dire?
Prends conscience de beauté telle comme tout, et si comme bataille, but however, your bronze statue in the park has really some oxidation on it, and there's some real rust on it, correct? Thank you very much.
Sure.
You allowed some great material there. I really appreciate it.
Continue CD play. Or I should say, since we're on a phone call, I should make it formal.
For those who stayed on the show to this point and didn't leave after the first 30 seconds, you've got a whole load of fun there, I'll tell you. Thank you very much, Gabriella Foster. And that's why she's with me each
certainly.
Week. She has a great wry sense
Please.
Of humor.
To
Not
help
because she's
in whatever way that I can.
That's
Even
correct.
Though I'm sure it was
well done.
No help whatsoever.
Oh,
is there any listeners left? Maybe we should proceed in English.
Maybe we should. Maybe we'd be better off if we attempted to proceed in English since we are in an English-speaking country. Well, maybe. I think this is Blog Talk Radio is international, though. So all those people that don't have us in translation, heaven forbid. Oh, my, this is really genuinely perfect. This has been a perfect day. I mean, really, it was absolutely fabulous. It's like a fulcrum of the spring and the summer coming together, even though it's not really summer yet. It was this morning when I checked, the temperature was 66. Humidity was 22, and there was no wind. It was a perfect day for running. Ironically, I did not run. Oh, my. And then I went out to the park and had a lovely walk. It was just really marvelous. It was not a cloud in the sky. It was azure blue. And then I had a discussion with somebody about it called lapis lazuli. If you look that up, it's synonymous with azure. Anyway, it was a perfect day. It was April 17th, mark this on your calendar, everybody. April 17th, 2016 was an absolutely perfect day. I have never seen a better day than today. It was really marvelous. So it's important. It's a really important issue. It was really beautiful today. All right, having said all that, moving right along, wherever I was, I think I was talking about ordained sovereignty and rights, okay? To prove that I can actually stay on a subject, there is no plurality of rights. We have one right. We have a birthright. So people need to stop talking about the plurality of the word right, being rights. We don't have rights. We have privileges. How many times do I have to say that? How many times? We have one right, the birthright. I've said that a million times, and I need to say it another million times like a mantra, I think, Gabriella, because we have privileges and not rights, okay? But that is ingrained. That's an engram, especially here in the West, that people think, well, I have rights. Well, no, you have a birthright, which is more important than rights. Having that one singular right, the right to life, liberty, and happiness, not the pursuit of happiness, but to have happiness, not pursue it. Think about it. The pursuit of happiness, happiness means you never have any happiness, right? Wouldn't you agree with that, Gabriella?
Well, yeah, but I think I understand why they said the pursuit of happiness, because happiness is completely an individual thing. So what makes one happy is not necessarily what will make another person happy. So they have the right to pursue that happiness.
That's a real rationalization, don't you think?
Possibly, but I'm just giving it a spin.
Well, that's why I really think there's a problem with that. So that's why I say life, liberty, and happiness without putting the verb and the preposition before the noun, okay? So let's leave that out. We say life, liberty, and happiness, and that would be the three laws, I think, that or the three abilities to achieve through the birthright, okay? The
mm-hmm.
birthright means you can have those things freely given to you. And that means the needs would be a subroutine of life, liberty, and happiness. The subroutine would
mm-hmm.
be food, shelter, and clothing, right?
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that means
we
that's
have to have
birthright.
Food, shelter, and clothing first, I believe. Because, well, that really constitutes life, I would say. Life, the subroutine of life would be food, shelter, and clothing, okay, because it's very hard to exist, to have life without food, shelter, and clothing.
Well, what about the fact that a spiritual sense in terms of soul being the life, the essence of the human being, and then life, liberty, and happiness would be more of an abstract.
The government cannot
what?
Provide that. That's provided by the individual themselves. The individuals themselves. The government cannot provide the spirituality. That's an individual quest, an individual search to reach a state of spiritual unfoldment. So it has nothing to do with the government. That's something someone can do no matter what government they're under.
All right, I understand that. But then in terms of even the idea of food, shelter, and clothing, that would be based upon certain eras, physical eras, political eras, in reference to the objects of the clothing, whether we need that, shelter, whether we need that. That would be a seasonal issue. I mean, if you have a constant state of 80 degrees, you wouldn't necessarily have to have shelter if you had perpetual sunlight, correct? So what would be the need of clothing and all that? You see, so this whole needs category is based upon the references of the idea of being in an Iron Age, I would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so are you promoting nudist colonies?
Am I promoting what?
Nudist colonies,
oh, nudist
I'm
colonies.
Just asking.
No, I said I wanted your opinion about that.
Well, no, not necessarily, but even people
I have a question. I wasn't promoting, I was asking a question.
Okay, so the question is, do we necessarily need shelter and clothing if we have a good climate year-round without any rain? Possibly not, but I do believe that natives or indigenous peoples of tropical areas seem to wear clothing of some sort. Now, maybe it's not as much clothing as what we're
used
to.
Loincloth, you mean?
Yeah, whatever. They do wear some clothing. I've seen in all the photos that I've seen of people in different tropical countries, they are
you
wearing.
You mean like Mahatma Gandhi
clothing.
Was weaving his next loincloth? You ever notice
right.
he's sitting there spinning? He was spinning his next loincloth. Because the one he had on, you throw away after spinning a loincloth after a few days of doing it. You just throw away his underwear and put on a new pair.
I see. That's nice. You know. Thank you.
A lot of people didn't realize what he was doing there. nobody really knows, you know, he was spinning a loincloth.
Is there any
and
way
the interesting thing is this huge mansion, too, and he's spinning his loincloth, right? Oh, boy. Funny stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I stole that line from Johnny Carson, by the way. He used to say funny stuff all the time.
Oh.
But since he's not hearing longer, I'm, you know, continue on the legacy of Johnny Carson. But a lot of young people don't even know who Robert Redford is or Meryl Streep. So
well,
they wouldn't
sure
know who Johnny Carson
know who
was either.
Johnny Carson is either. And probably they might not even know who Conan O'Brien is
either. Well, then I can take credit for that, you know, funny stuff, correct?
Mm-hmm. Because
okay, so
Johnny Carson is long past, I believe, so I don't think he can sue you for taking it freely.
Yeah, again, I don't have to worry about quoting
mm-hmm.
Johnny Carson, right, since nobody knows who he is. So I can take credit
right.
for that?
Right.
So if you live long enough, you can take all the praises of people in history, because people forget the people of history unless they make a real clear demarcation mark in terms of educational facilities, I'll say. And how do you do that? Well, you make have a credible textbook, and then they teach people about certain key factors in reference to higher education. Oh, my. Where did we get off the subject? It's your fault. You're the one that started talking about French language and stuff. I'm trying to talk about relevant things on my topic.
Sorry.
Okay.
I know, because I
accept your
apologize apology. Because I know that you always like to stay on the subject.
Well done. That wry sense of humor keeps you on the show every week. Let me applaud her. Let's applaud Gabriella. Bravo. For her great facetiousism, she gets a trophy for being the most facetious person, coming up with the best species, not feces, but facetiousism. not a feces, but a what would be a feces? I forgot. Oh, my. Oh, man, you have me laughing so hard I can't remember. Oh, my. That is really funny. Well done. A facetious. Is not a facetious is not a feces. That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
Would be a facetious statement.
So people aren't alarmed at what you're talking about. Gosh, I know
yeah.
I am.
We don't want to think of facetious as a feces, right? Oh my!
Right.
And that's why we have to watch
things.
Out how
yeah.
we say things, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of certain language and what happened, we change it so we can be more clear in oral dissertation. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so back to the subject, and let's see if I can get it back. All right, birthright. Hey, did it again. Was I writing that down? Let me see in my notes. No, I wasn't writing that down. So I can stay on the subject, and that's a proof that I can actually do that. So we're talking
mm-hmm.
about the birthright, which is very significant. Because we have one right. We don't have a plurality of rights. We have one right. But that very powerful right that by our singular birth, and I call it the grand compromise, that soul entering the body, meaning a minimum of a very powerful energy comes into the physical body, and therefore they do all the labor necessary to be paid in their food, shelter, and clothing freely. You see what I mean? In other words, we don't have to go to work to get paid. You see what I mean? So that whole labor issue is a problem in terms of defining the essence at the beginning of the derivation of the birthright. Very important. It sounds like I'm reading this. Maybe I am. Let me look at my notes. No, I'm not reading it, but you'll never know. See, that's the whole thing. I might be lying. Is he lying? No. Anson Taylor Hughes is pure of heart. You would never lie, correct? Just like Superman says, I never lie, right? Okay. And that gets rid of the Superman joke, too, correct?
That's true.
I truly apologize for ruining that. All right, so what does the birthright have to do with anything? Well, the interesting part is that in certain eras, the birthright is pristine, in reference to the fact that of itself allows one to be ordained sovereign by birth, okay? And so that sovereignty is a big issue nowadays because really people don't understand it. And the powers that be and all those issues of that we can do notice of dishonor when they give us a hard time or what have you, need to comprehend that the idea of sovereignty is very important, okay? But the sovereignty I'm talking about is documented sovereignty in a contracts law society. We have contracts law because we have money. People understand that. We have a medium of exchange. It's not going away at any time. We can talk about indirect trade and about the American tribes and blah, 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 and all that theoretical, wonderful stuff. But ultimately, we're stuck with the money issue. It becomes a very negative thing. It becomes negativity between friends. It becomes negativity between relatives. It becomes negativity between everything. It's a big problem. Okay, it's a big issue because we're dealing with a lot of competition. We don't really understand how to create it. It's just a big, gigantic, big mess. It truly is. It ruins everything. It ruins people's lives. People are in great pain over money, 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 money. And we should be worshiping money and put the symbol on our walls and just bow down to it, the symbol of the dollar sign, which used to be the U.S. symbol. It used to be U.S., and then the left-hand side of the U went away, and they just have a singular, like an I running through the S. So this is the great logo, the great symbol of the dollar bill. All praise the dollar. Let's hear it. All praise. Sieg Heil to the dollar, correct?
Wow.
Funny, right? Well, that's how it is. It really is. National socialism over the dollar. International socialism over the dollar bill. See, we worship it. It's everything. And people can't get away from it. It's just like I do everything for free. I'm probably the only one that does everything for free. The rest of everybody has an undertone and undercurrent of selling spirituality, governmental things, ideas, concepts, packages. It's all about money, contributions. Oh, I'm freely doing this, but can you give me a donation? There's always a handout. People always have a handout. I don't. I'm probably the only person that doesn't. I'm very proud of that, you know, in terms of the fact that I can't pay my bills, but what the hell, right? The great irony. Do you ever think for free and have nothing? Correct?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Oh, I see. You don't know.
Yeah, I
That's
don't
great.
Know. I mean,
like
I know
that.
We're in
That's
a monetary
good start.
Society, and, you know, most people have to deal with getting money and spending money and paying your bills and money.
Well, hey,
so,
wait a minute. I have something for you. Here's a violin. Let me play the violin for you.
No, I didn't ask for a violin. I'm just saying that that's probably most people's outlooks, you know. It would be nice
so
to be in state work. I guess I'm not
Go
finishing
ahead.
The sentence.
I'm not doing anything. Go ahead.
It would be nice to be in a state where nobody charged any money, nobody needed any money, and I think that's possible. It's just that we're not there yet.
Well, you mean we're not cycling to that era? You mean in terms of indirect trade? Do you understand
right.
indirect trade?
I do understand indirect trade. I think it's a great
well, explain it
idea.
To me.
Are you there? I've lost
you. I am here. I am.
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Hi. Were you gone?
No, I was not gone. I was sitting right here minding my own business.
Okay,
all right,
but
we're
I
getting
didn't
down
hear
to
anything
the last
said.
Part of the show. Gabriella, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it. Your commentary was brilliant this evening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, as always.
And I appreciate you being here. I'm trying to milk 10 seconds.
Well, I don't think people will be upset if you stop 10 seconds short. I think it'll be perfectly fine.
But David Letterman would be upset.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for being on the show, the Journeymen and New People. This is Grantham Taylor Hughes from my show. See you next week, and goodbye for now.